recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello, everyone. This is Lord Alfred Hayes with this week's update.
And that update is that I'm back off the road, back off spring break. And I just wanted to let everyone know before the interview starts that this interview was recorded on the road. And as a result, the sound quality isn't what I typically strive for, but it is decent. And just comes across sounding like maybe I'm the guest and my guest is the host. But other than that, I think you'll enjoy the interview. So let's get started.
Oh, it's live, pal.
Cost plus shipping. Sure, it's popular nowadays, but it didn't always used to be that way. It might be disputable who started cost plus shipping, but it's indisputable in my mind who put it on the map. Today, I get to talk to the undisputed MVP of putting figures in people's hands, the good brother himself, aka Mike. And that conversation starts right now.
Mike, how's it going, man?
Tim, how are you? Honored that you asked me to pull up a chair with you.
It's my honor, and it's been a long time coming. You're one of the first guys that I really found on the wrestling Twitter universe, whatever people want to call it. And it's been a pleasure to know you, and it's a bigger pleasure to have you on, man.
Yeah, we've been messaging back and forth for two, 3 years now. It's nice to actually get to talk to you.
Almost face-to-face, yeah. So, hey, where were you born and raised out there? I know it's on the East Coast, but...
Yeah, I'm in the south towns of Buffalo, New York.
Okay, and so were you born and raised, you were born and raised in the same area, or have you moved about?
No, born and raised in Buffalo, never left. The city stuck with me.
That's where the Bills thing comes from.
That's right. Yep.
When did you discover wrestling, or when did you get into it?
I was actually a late bloomer. I know a lot of people in the community got into it, started watching back like 80s. I really didn't get into it until maybe 93, 94. And I had a buddy, I'd go to his house, watch wrestling all the time, Monday Night Raw. You know, big fan of Austin, Rock, Triple H, DX, all that. So, yeah, I was like, I got into it late, not as early as most of the people.
So it was kind of the Attitude Era that drew you in?
Oh, yeah, sucked me right in. All, yeah, you know, Stone Cold, you know, giving middle fingers to Vince and Stunners and DX telling people to suck it. I mean, who didn't love that?
When you found it and you started watching it, did you immediately get drawn into, you know, house shows, live events, pay-per-views, wrestling figures? Where did it take you from just, okay, wow, there's this thing on TV, and now what was the kind of the next step for you?
Yeah, I watched it all the time, and once I got a job, I was around like 15, like 94, 95, started making my own money. Was at the store, saw the figures. So, you know, I'd pick one up here and there. And then as I got older, you know, I made more money. I was able to get more figures. And I think by the time I was 20, that was about 2000, I probably had close to 500 figures in my collection. Some of them opened so I could display them. A lot of them I didn't open. I wasn't, you know, really into the whole MOC back then. Because obviously I opened stuff to display it. And yeah, that was 2000. I kind of got out of it as I got into a relationship and decided, you know, I had to start adulting, bills, rent, all that stuff. And I sold off probably a good 90% of my collection back then.
Oh, wow. The things we do for love, huh?
Yeah. You know, looking back now, it wasn't worth selling it. I mean, just to warn anybody, if that ever comes up, like, don't get rid of your stuff. If that's what you love, it's a hobby, don't get rid of it. Just keep it. Figure out a different way to pay your bills or something.
Solid advice to keep your goodies, kid.
Oh, yeah.
Did you start going to live events and or pay-per-views or that sort of thing, or were you mainly just collecting, watching on TV?
I was watching on TV mostly. A good buddy of mine, once we were both able to start driving and house shows would come to Buffalo, we'd always get tickets. There's a couple times we were fortunate enough to be in like the second row during like a Monday Night Raw. So we kind of like, you know, see ourselves on TV with like his ma would record it or something. So I used to go to his house every Monday and we'd watch, and I'd go to his house for pay-per-views and whatnot. And it was mainly house shows. I didn't really go to many of the pay-per-views. I remember going to an Armageddon one year that was in Buffalo here, because I had won tickets off one of the radio stations here. So that was pretty much the only time I've gone to any pay-per-views.
I'm always curious to know, for whatever reason, I guess just people being from all over the place, what was your home arena, or what was the venue that the WWE or whoever you saw would come to?
It's usually like where the Sabres would play. And the name of the building has changed so many times, I don't even really remember what it's called back then.
I mean, we have the same thing out here with all the sponsorships, and they change, and whoever pays the most gets the name. But was there like an old school name that it was known kind of before that era began?
I remember back in the day, like in the 80s, it was called the Odd. And then I think it was called like Marine Midland Arena. And right now it's the KeyBank Center.
Okay. With the Attitude Era, watching that, did you kind of hop into WCW as well and watch both? Did you pick a side in that war, or were you kind of just there for both of it?
Well, I was mainly, you know, WWF, WWE as it is. I know they had like the Monday Night Wars, so I'd kind of flip back and forth like during that time to see what was going on. But I didn't really get into WCW or ECW that much.
Okay. Moving over to the figures, you mentioned kind of when the time frame that you got into it. So I'm curious, what line did you start into? Did you just start with what was being made at that time? Did you go back and get older stuff, or?
It was mainly whatever was out at the time. I didn't really get back into collecting the older stuff until more recently, but yeah, it was whatever was out at the time. If I could get my hands on it, you know, the Toys R Us, Target, Walmart, whatever, whatever I could find.
Was that Jax at the time, or?
Yeah, I believe it was the Jax.
Okay. And so now, you know, 2021 here, COVID checks abundant and everything else. What lines do you have, or is it a shorter question to ask you? What lines don't you have?
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. I got back into collecting probably 2016 or 17. I was on Twitter one day looking up like wrestling stuff, and I started talking to Hova, Brandon, and found out, you know, he lives about 20 minutes from me, and he was a collector. He was into wrestling, and he's like, hey, you ever listen to a podcast? There's Fully Posable. He's like, you probably like it. So, you know, everybody knows Scott and Jeff over there, and started listening to their show, and they got me more interested. So I started buying figures again, and it was just all downhill from there. I got into a lot of the older stuff. I got some LJNs. I got a lot of Hasbros, you know, the Elites. I got a full set of the Defining Moments. I get the Entrance Greats, the Retro Fest figures, like, you know, this on and on, anything and everything that like comes out now, I'm pretty much try to get my hands on it.
So do you have like, I don't really have a good gimmicky question. Like, I don't like to use the Rushmore, I guess, because everybody kind of uses that, but is there maybe not even a definitive number of figures, but just a handful, maybe it's two, maybe it's five figures that mean the most to you, that if you had to stop collecting figures tomorrow for some weird reason, these are the ones that you'd still want to hang on, like above the rest kind of thing?
Oh, I got so many things that I like in my collection. Some of the stuff that means the most, the bunch of people in the community this past year, October 2020, got together and got me the Straight Edge Society CM Punk Elite for my birthday.
Oh.
And that really meant a lot, coming from everybody. That was one of the figures that I really wanted. And everybody knows how much it's going for online. And you know, it's the community is just amazing. So that's one that means a lot. And just some of like the first figures I bought back in like the mid 90s, like the Stone Colds, the Hardys, and Lita, because Lita is my favorite. Everybody knows that. Like some of the earlier stuff I was able to buy with my money for the first time. But yeah, I mean, there's just so many. I don't know if I could pick just five.
Yeah, just to narrow that down. What are some of your earliest memories? I mean, you're kind of known, or at least that's what I got to know you from, is your toy spotting expertise out there, I guess, if you will. And just the whole collectors helping collectors thing as it's come to be known. But even before I was really aware of that, it was kind of, you know, the cost plus shipping. You were kind of doing that. I noticed, you know, I guess it's been years now. Do you have any like cool stories as far as like, what are your first memories of going on these hunts? What's like the weirdest thing you've ever seen, maybe with like a repack or just anything goofy that you've seen in all your trips into these stores?
I remember from collecting back in the day, we had a guy who had a little store at one of the flea markets, and he had all the new figures, and he would charge 2 to 3 times what retail was. And he had a few guys that would go out and buy up all the new figures when they came out. And I kind of put myself in my shoes back then as I was hunting, you know, back in 16, 17, when this all started. And I'd find stuff in the store, you know, post it online, you know, tag people in the community and, you know, everybody, hey, that, you know, it's cool that you found that. If you see another one, let me know. You know, if I'd find something, I'd hit them up and they're like, oh, you know, what do you want for it? Just, well, whatever it costs plus the shipping. And they were kind of like surprised because a lot of people like to upsell and we all know that story. And it kind of just started snowballing from there. And I go out and I start helping this person, helping that person. And it was just kind of screw the scalpers, you know, I'm not going to upcharge anybody. I'm going to try and help people out, get stuff for their collection at retail. Like people shouldn't have to pay more than retail to get something that they want. And you know, the scalpers really put a damper on that when they try and buy up everything and then sell it for 2-3 times. And I didn't agree with that. I didn't like it. So it was all cost plus shipping.
Really such a cool thing that somebody's kind of fighting back against it, because it seems like there's so many people that are just willing to throw the money down. I saw like the British Bulldog figure and people are spending $60-70 a couple weeks ago, and now it's kind of coming down a little bit. But I think if there was more people doing what you're doing or have done historically and helped collectors get those cost plus shipping, you know, that thing might curtail a little bit. Instead, as long as people are willing to pay $70-80 just so they can get some social media validation for posting, hey, I got this before you did, and overpaid by $50 to do it, the world would be a better place.
Yeah. And I'm guilty of, you know, kind of wanting to be the first one to find stuff or post stuff. But I mean, that's not really what it's about. You know, if you're able to get something, that's great. If you got to wait a couple months, you know, I'm kind of learning that myself. Yeah, I mean, people paying $70 for a figure that just came out, I think is ridiculous, because there's so many people in the community now that'll go out and say, hey, if you need something, let me know. Like, everybody's doing it. Everybody's implementing the cost plus shipping into their routine. And, you know, we're just here to help each other out. That's just the way it's got to be. And if we can keep doing that, you know, it'll cut some of the scalping out. It won't go away because there are still those people that'll pay $60 for a figure, but you know, just hit up people in the community and most of the time they'll come through for you.
I think it's pretty cool that you had been doing this cost plus shipping for past couple of years, and now there has become like, I don't know, maybe there were always more people out there doing it. I didn't see them, but now there's the collectors helping collectors thing going on. And I just think, if we had more people doing that and less people trying to make money off of it. And I don't know, I could go on forever about that stuff.
Well, yeah. And I'm not going to, you know, claim to be the first one to do it, because I'm sure, you know, many people have been doing it for years, but I kind of took that bull by the horns and ran with it. And I'm just glad everybody is, you know, doing the same.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, other than just the fact that, you know, I consider you a buddy of mine, in the kind of in the scheme of the show. My idea is to get the light shined on as many different facets of the collecting hobby, or the wrestling figure hobby, I guess, as it is. And definitely, as you and I have talked about before, there's people that make clothing, there's people that customize, there's people that just have crazy collections. And, you know, you and I might fall into several of those categories, but you definitely have a lot to do with the collectors, helping collectors movement, as far as I'm concerned. Kind of transitioning into collecting and getting to the stores. Every week I like to ask my guests what they've found in the wild, Targets, Walmarts, or online with Amazon, or wherever you get your figures, the figure hunting experience, I guess. Mike, what, if anything, have you found, or what did you pick up this past week?
Yeah, it's been a good week. I got an item in the mail today. I made a trade with a guy through Twitter, Jukebox Devil. He's over in the UK. He posted some Hasbros that he had as extras, and I hit him up, and we worked out a trade, and I just got an Adam Bond Hasbro in the mail to add to my Hasbro collection. I'm trying to scratch off the ones that I'm missing this year. I know I got a little ways to go, as most of the ones I need are pricey, but I just got the Atom Bomb. If I could jump back a month, I actually picked up the complete Macho King with the scepter and the crown. And back in January, I picked up the 1-2-3 Kid Hasbro. So those were big adds to my collection this year. What else did I get this week? I've been seeing a lot of AEW. You know, I got the set there. Series 2 hit again a couple weeks ago. I actually found a couple MJF 1-of-1,000 chases at one of my stores. They got two cases in, both had the chase, which I was shocked.
I saw that. That's awesome, man.
What else did I pick up? Got some figures in the mail from Amazon, the Fan Takeover figures. I got the Adam Cole, the Shayna Baszler, and the Ricky Steamboat. I should have a couple more en route today.
That's a pretty solid haul, man.
Yeah, that's just like this past week. I mean, I'm always out. I haven't been out as much lately. Like this year, I kind of trying to focus on my collection. I've been, you know, out there helping everybody out for a while, and decided, you know, I'm going to focus more on me and take a step back, because there's so many people helping everybody out right now that I figured I could kind of step back and focus on me for once.
That's important to do, and you can only help so many people, it seems like, before the favors return, and hopefully some people are helping you out with getting some stuff the same way that you've been helping others out.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I get a lot of help. Sammy Evans, he's been a big help, hooked me up a bunch. The Elite 81s I found a while back, and I found all but the Mae Young and Drew Venzel. He hit me up one day and he's like, hey, you need May? I got an extra one. So he hooked me up. I mean, it's just, you know, everybody in the community is so cool and they're so giving. It's just crazy how nice everybody is and willing to help you out.
Have you noticed, I asked about the repack thing and it, I forgot to follow up with, when Aleister Black was super hard to find in that NXT line out here, I actually went into a Target and somebody had bought both of them, returned both of them, and I almost kind of had to laugh. I forget what figure they put in there, but they figure swapped, but they used the exact same figure for both, which that kind of tickled me for some reason, because it's like they went to the lengths of like making sure that both figures were swapped with like a jacket, and it was the same figure. What's like the craziest thing you've seen as far as, you guys get a lot of the figure swaps out there?
I've seen a bunch of figure swaps. Just recently, one of the Walmarts I went to, there was Steve Austin, the Stunning Steve, and a Mae Young. The boxes were kind of beat up. And I found them at another store. And someone had bought the Austin. They stole the belt out of it and returned it. And I don't think they took anything out of the Mae Young, but there's a lot of that going around here. Items missing out of the packages, people stealing like the Paul Ellering head. I think one of the more interesting ones, I saw someone posted the Orange Cassidy AEW, but someone swapped it out and put the Simon Dean from WWE in there. But he had the blue outfit, so it kind of like they tried. But it's just like, it's crazy how often that happens, like the fig swapping and like stealing stuff. It's like, if you don't got the money, I mean, come on. But I would love to volunteer my services to Walmart for like a week or two and just sit at the customer service desk and just hope that one of these people come up and try to return something like that and just be able to call them out on it. I mean, I would love nothing more than to be able to do that.
Well, the thing is, you know that they have the money because they bought it and then they took it back. So they had the money, but just decided to be a con artist instead of doing the right thing. But yeah, I agree, man. I don't understand how they don't have the technology at Target. Like, you bring the box, you hand it to the guy, they've got a 2021 computer system sitting right there. Why can't the figure pop up on the screen and see like, oh, this looks nothing like what you're returning? I mean, I know some people will say they're just wrestling figures, it's not that big of a deal, but people could do the same thing with plates or blenders or whatever and just throw something else in there and bring it back. So you'd think they'd want to have a little bit better of a hold on their stuff.
Right. I mean, and even like sometimes all you have to do is look at the box. Like, does this figure look like this person on the box? Like, even that. But I don't know if it's they just don't care or if it's, you know, they'll just damage it out and get their money back for it. Or I don't know what it is, but it's just crazy that they don't care enough to like look, because I would love to just catch somebody in the act.
It would be so fun to even just to be walking out of the store and see somebody like, hey, hold on a second. This isn't, you know, you're ripping us off, and hang tight right there while we get security.
Right. I would love it.
And speaking of just kind of weird stuff going on in the figure hunting world, have you seen any of these videos where, and I've seen multiple, I saw one like a week ago for the first time and it kind of floored me. I thought maybe it was fake, but now I've seen like a few of them where guys are lifting up that little shelf on the bottom and finding like all kinds of crazy figures underneath there. Have you seen any of those?
I haven't seen nothing like that, but I know like in certain section of Target, they have like a cardboard like display, and they have like the little tickets for like the outdoor slides and like the bigger items that you would have to build for like the younger kids.
Yeah.
And it's like only so big, but if you like move that box, there's like a big space behind it. And I've seen like videos where people are finding stuff hidden behind there. But yeah, I've seen like back in Toys R Us, people would hide stuff up on the top shelf, or they'll hide stuff in the bottom shelf. I've had store employees tell me that people hide items in like suitcases and microwaves. Like a lot of the guys who collect the Hot Wheels will hide stuff in microwaves and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is, I've seen some of that too. This was kind of a new revelation for me because I hadn't seen this, but the metal shelf it's at Target specifically. And they've got the metal shelf. Some areas have more shelves than others, but the thing that's in common is throughout the whole toy department, there's a bottom shelf, and there's about 4 inches of like a kick plate underneath that. And that bottom shelf, guys are lifting up that shelf and finding like, I was watching one video and the guy found a figure that was like 3 years old in there. And he actually took it up to the register. Of course, it wasn't in the database anymore. And they created a thing for him and sold it to him because he's like, this was on the rack, I want to buy it. So they sold it to him. But it's crazy, like people are hiding figures under there, and like this one was lost for like 3 years until somebody found it.
Yeah, that tells you how well that Targets get clean too.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. And I want to just go because I've got like 25 Targets or something in my general vicinity, and now I want to like go through all these stores and start lifting the thing up, but I also don't want to look like some kind of I don't know, some dude that's up to something crazy, right? Because all that stuff's under surveillance. I don't know how well that would go over to see like a, you know, a full grown man walking through the store, like lifting up shelves and stuff.
Yeah, you can just say you dropped. Oh, I dropped something and it went under the shelf. I was trying to grab it. Meanwhile, you're looking to see if there's any goodies under there.
I dropped my wedding ring and I'm just trying to see if it might have rolled under here. And yeah, that's a good pull. I like that. Maybe I'll give that a try. If I find anything, Mike, I'll make sure it's not on your want list before I open it up.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued to want to go do that now too, because who knows what's hidden under those little shelves there.
Yeah, and it seems like, I don't know, might be like a, what do the kids call it now, a hot take. Might be a hot take to say this, but it seems like it's kind of in the less wealthy neighborhoods or whatever. Maybe guys that don't have the money to buy them, and they're throwing them under there and hiding them. The one guy was saying, you know, when they come through and wash the floors and stuff, sometimes some water sprays down underneath there. So some of the boxes got like a little damage, but it'd be interesting to see what's under there.
Yeah, some of those people that are, well, if I can't afford to buy it, no one's going to buy it. So I'm going to stash it underneath the shelf.
Yeah, that there's the whole culture of that. And I've seen countless times where like guys will just rip the box. Like, you know, we've all seen like the boxes that have been damaged and smashed and whatever, but I'll go in and I'll see a box where a guy just deliberately grabs the thing and rips the side, like he'll rip the panel off the side of it or something. And yeah. It's just that same mentality. I'm just going to make sure that this isn't collectible for you.
Right. Yeah. I've heard stories about people going in and just grabbing boxes and just, you know, wrecking them on purpose just to do it. And I mean, I'd kind of like to catch someone doing that too.
You're going to become like the new enforcer for Target. You might be able to create a gig for yourself. Like, I'm just going to make sure that nobody's damaging product, nobody's fig swapping. If anybody makes a break for the door, you know, I'll take them down.
Yeah, I kind of based like my fig hunter gimmick off the Punisher. So maybe I can implement that somehow.
There you go. Get yourself a polo with the little Punisher logo up, you know, up on the chest.
Oh, yeah.
Mike, you're nice enough to come on here today and have decided to offer up a Darby Allin figure. Tell us about that.
Yeah. You know, when you started the show, I was kind of hoping and waiting for the chance to pull up a chair. And I figured once I was able to, that I would bring a figure to the table to give away. It's going to be a Series 3 AEW Darby Allin. Seen a bunch in the area recently. I picked up a couple and decided, hell, why not give one away?
Super generous of you, man. And you're kind of the king of the giveaways. You've been on podcasts like Fully Posable, where I heard your giveaways in the past, and I'm sure many other people have as well. But this is just such a cool figure, and it's very generous on your part to do that over here on my podcast. And I really appreciate you doing that and coming on. How are we going to disperse this figure out to the lucky winner?
Oh, I think earlier we discussed a few Hasbros that I had picked up. So if people were listening and paying attention, if they email you with the three figures that I mentioned, then we can pick a winner from that bunch.
Always pays to pay attention, kids. So hopefully you were listening. Go ahead and email your answers over to me at achairshot@gmail.com. Mike, I could talk to you for hours. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can people find you if they want to talk wrestling figures or get in contact with you, get in the network of helping you get figures you need and you helping them and everything else?
Yeah, if you got figures you need, or you might have something that I need, I'm on Twitter. Everybody knew me at a different handle until I changed it, but I'm at fig HNTR 24_7. So it's like fig hunter 24/7. And, yeah, if you want it, send me a DM, hit me up in the chats. You know, I'm always available.
your Twitter handle was changed. I don't know if we're supposed to talk about your old show name or if we're leaving that one in the past, but you've definitely been a good friend to me all this time. And I think, you know, people have said you're a pillar in the community. I definitely think you are. And as you and I have talked about, there's many pillars in the community, but I definitely think you're one of them. And just, you've always been the guy that comes through or has come through for so many people, the MVP as far as helping people get figures. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've gotten so many nicknames over the past few years, but like I tell everybody, I'm just one piece of the puzzle. You know, without everybody in the community, like, it's not a community. So I'm just, you know, just one of the pieces. And I appreciate you asking me to pull up a chair. And like I said, it's an honor.
Long overdue, man. And I'm glad we got a chance to do it. One of my traditions here on the show is on our way out, I want you to pick a wrestling entrance theme and we'll head out on that.
Now, I'm sure most people are going to expect me to pick Lita's theme, but let's send this one out to the community because you look so good to me. How about Billy and Chuck? You look so good to me.
Billy and Chuck, I love it, man. Good talking to you, Mike. We'll be in touch with you real soon.
I appreciate it, Tim. Thank you very much.
Take care.
You too.
Hey guys, before I get out of here, I just wanted to give a thank you and a few shout outs. First, I'd like to give a big thank you to my good friend Mike for taking the time to talk to me this week. Mike's one of the first guys that I met in the wrestling figure community that just helped people get figures at cost plus shipping in a time where most people were scalping or gouging or charging fees to be in a group or whatever the thing was. Mike was one of the first guys that just helped good dudes in the community get figures at cost, and he helped a lot of people, and I'm very thankful for that. And it's been really cool to see that that's kind of spread now, and different sections of the wrestling figure community are now doing the cost plus shipping, and I just think it's awesome. Thank you to Mike for coming on, and thank you to Mike for doing that part in the whole cost plus shipping thing. You're the true MVP of putting figures in people's hands, dude. Thank you. I'd like to give a shout out to Drew and Caitlin Vinsel for their podcast over there at Tales from the Estate. One of my absolute favorite podcasts. I refuse to miss it. And hopefully you guys are checking it out. If you're not, make the time, and it doesn't go long. It's really good in the content, and I can't recommend it enough. So shout out Tales from the Estate podcast. I'd also like to give a shout out to Scott and Jeff Toon over at Fully Posable. These guys are putting out great content. They had an interview this week, or a mashup with the PPW podcast, which was a fun listen. Talk wrestling figures, of course. Great guys, and I'm thankful for them just helping me do what I'm doing and all the help that they've given me. So chances are you're probably already checking them out if you're hearing this podcast, but if you're not, make sure you're listening to Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. Also, check out Scott's other podcast, Drunk Wrestling History. That's always a fun listen. I don't miss it. Hopefully you're not either.
Thank you for listening to Pulling Up a Chair with a Chair Shot. If you enjoyed it, please help put the show over by telling a friend and clicking the subscribe button on Anchor, Google, Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. You will get instant notifications whenever a new show drops. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at a Chair Shot. That's ACHAIRSHOT. You will want to keep an eye on my socials in the coming weeks. Trust me. Feel free to leave questions or audio comments on the show page on Anchor FM's website, or email them to me directly at hairshot@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in again, and until next week, Bobby.
All good things must come to an end, right?
Well, every time changes
everything. And a friend in need is a pest.